Welcome back again. This is the one. Again, I think I have a show in a couple weeks, but this has been basketball heavy and preemption heavy, and I'm so happy to have on one of the great guests in the history of radio, this station or any others, my friend Tony Fitzpatrick. Tony, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. You have up at Dime Gallery now an exhibit by our mutual friend, but a much better friend of yours, the musician John Langford. What I would love to know, Tony, is that you are someone too who spreads themselves around creatively. You are an actor. You have been a radio host. You are a poet, and you are a visual artist. Did it take some arm twisting to convince John Langford that, in addition to being one of Chicago's most talented musicians, he was also a pretty damn good visual artist? Did it take some convincing?
You know, a little bit. We go back 35 years. I met John in Memphis as I was being thrown out of Graceland. And the eldest cops chased us across the street. And I had just seen John's band, the Mekons, the night before at the Antenna Club in Memphis. And I stopped, and there they were, the Mekons. So we started talking. And then the eldest cops kept coming, so I had to leave.
What did you try to do? What did you try to do?
Years later.
What did you try to do? Jump in Elvis's bed or something? Why did you get thrown out of
the stairs?
Oh, God, I get it. Yeah. Private rooms.
Yeah,
private
rooms. I wanted to see where him and Ann Margaret got together, you know? So they chased me. Rick, it was the weirdest thing. There was a guy with dark red pompadour, dark red mutton chops. He was like Ginger Elvis.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Wow.
And that's the guy who chased me across the street. So I met John, and he was kind of perplexed as to what was going on, but I gave him my card. I was working for the Loop at the time.
Sure. Sure.
And when they came through town, I made it a point to go and see them. And I saw all of his drawings. And he'd been doing a bunch of cartoons and drawings for New City.
Right.
I ran into him one night at Metro. I had just opened my etching press. And I said, look, this is a kind of art making that will reward how you draw. Let's do this. And he made a couple of things, and honestly, like, the first etching he ever made was as good as anything I've ever made in my life on an etching press.
And
really? I'm pretty well known for that.
Yeah, no kidding.
And
no kidding.
I said, look, you have to have a show of your work. I owned World Tattoo at the time. And for a little bit, he was resistant, and then I think he began to see himself in it. And we had a show, we hosted his show in 1993, and I promised him that we'd do another show ever since then. But, you know, his schedule would get busy, mine would get busy.
Yep.
We've been trying to do this again for the last 35 years. In the meantime, we became the best of friends. And
yeah.
After our pal Lynn Bramer passed away, I said, look, it's time to do this, and let's not let another year go by without hanging this show. And it opened 2 weeks ago, and it's a killer. It's just an absolute knockout. What's great about it is it views America from a long way off. I mean, John grew up in Wales. In Leeds. And you never really know what people think of us until you talk to another English-speaking person from somewhere else. One of the most compelling images in the show is a painting of Nixon and Kissinger. I mean, two guys who I'm absolutely positive are occupying box seats in hell, and deservedly so.
Yep.
And it goes to how people who are not from America view our history, view it from over the fence or from outside. And that's a very, very good thing for us to have to look at.
Good point, Tony. Really good point. The thing about you, one of the things that is incredibly admirable is you have been able over, you know, your entire career to empower people to feel that they are, when they indeed are, artists. I think of what you've done with John Soss, who is a mutual friend of ours, who has collected things on beaches and made photographs of these. And Tony, you... That took some convincing, did it not? To me,
that took some real arm twisting,
didn't it?
Well, you know, the odd thing is that what John does is not only about art; it's about anthropology.
Our
relationship with maybe the roughest body of water on this planet for its own size.
Yep.
And every day that lake gives up more of its history,
yeah,
more of its story,
and more of its junk too. That's what fascinates me about.
Has carefully chronicled this, and made I think created a codified history of our city.
Yeah, he's kind
of
like
what we value, what we keep, what we discard, what holds meaning for us. What we leave in the sand.
You know, he's kind of like the curator of Lake Michigan, and it tells...
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it certainly tells the kind of society we have with, you know, some of his gatherings are like hundreds of, you know, cigarette lighters and fireworks and all sorts of things. He's got to be up for another show soon, yes? He's had two?
Yeah, we'll get him back. I mean, part of the, you know, how this gallery found its soul is recognizing art in the hands of people who were not really sure they were artists.
Exactly.
And part of what is so important for our mission is to give those people a space, create a license for them to say, yes, I'm an artist. This is what I do. This is how my view of the world manifests itself.
Well, many of those people have been on the show. I mean, think of Peter Bella, who was a retired police officer who does what is conventionally known as street photography, and that wonderful woman who was also on the show.
Daphne Walsh,
who is
our next show.
She is? She's great.
She's our next show, yeah. I went and saw a new body of work, and... you know, she just continues to grow, and has that magical thing that you know, that Harry Callahan had, that Richard Avedon had, Ouija had. She knows when the moment reveals itself, and that's when she takes the picture. I'm a big collector of hers. I'm a huge fan. You know, I mean, there are so many of those artists in Chicago.
I know.
And there are so many of them that don't, sadly, often have it acknowledged that
because
what they're doing is, in fact, art.
Well, part of it, too, and I remember when you and Tim Anderson and Peter Hurley and some others started the Cold House exhibits in sort of not retaliation so much to the conventional kind of gallery situation here, but the gallery situation here for many years has been very heavily political.
Well, it was, you know, back in the early 80s, it was rife with gatekeepers.
Yep. And, yeah, sure.
What we did was we just wanted to make a case for ourselves.
You did.
And, and Timmy Anderson, I mean, he's the guy, like John Langford. I mean, there are a few guys I look around with and I think, you know, we all heard the same dog whistle. We all heard that if they're not going to let you in their house, then you build your own.
Yeah, and you guys.
Which is why I opened World Tattoo Gallery.
God, do I have fond memories of World Tattoo and Cold House.
Oh, yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll take
a week there one night.
Yeah, no kidding. We'll take a break, and I want to talk to Tony, too, about his upcoming show. He sends me, and I'm grateful to it, You're working your butt off, my friend. And you're in a creative, not a frenzy, but you're in a real creative period.
I've been at it. Yeah.
Yep. Half the Angels is going to be a new exhibition and a book later this year. But I also want to talk. About that, and I want to talk about Richard Lewis for a couple minutes.
Our old pal Richard Lewis, man.
What a character! We'll be back in a couple minutes. In addition to running one of Chicago's most important galleries, the Dime at 1513 Northwestern Avenue, currently showing Insignificance by our mutual friend, the great musician and astonishingly talented visual artist John Langford. Tony Fitzpatrick has been on a real tear recently. I am one of the fortunate people, though I can't, I'm not fortunate that I can't afford to buy every image he sends me, but he sends me images as he's working on them. Tony, it's not a, it's, you're on a real streak here, are you not?
As my father used to say, I'm on a heater lately, you know. And I'm making a book of haiku and birds, and the idea is it's really a book about faith. It's about, you know, for those of us who don't have a deity, where do we put our faith? How do we find our faith?
Mm-hmm.
And, man, nature has been a great place for me to invest that idea and surround myself with it and honestly, you know, quite frankly, to be healed by it.
Yeah.
You know, right now we're coming up to the gut of migration, so I'm spending a lot of time, you know, looking at birds, making these images, and you know, I had a relationship with the Beverly Arts Center.
Sure.
You know, I love the people who run it, Monica Wilsack and Sal Campbell, and I just thought, you know, I'm not doing museum shows anymore, and this is an art center. People don't have to pay to get in.
Right.
And this is the south side of Chicago. This is a place that birthed, you know, my father and a great many others. And this would be a good place to have this. So
it's in November and December of this year. How many pieces are you likely to have up there?
This is probably 90 pieces.
Wow.
This is probably as big as the show I had out at the Cleve County Museum.
Yeah, which was an amazing show. But the stuff I've seen.
Yeah, it'll also be a performance. You know, John and I have been talking about it more and more. And I honestly think I want to rope him into this.
You should. Tell him that I said he owes you, for God's sake. He owes you for putting on this show.
You know, he paints birds beautifully. There's a bunch of birds in this show.
Don't let him horn into your milieu.
No, birds are for everybody, brother. I'm good with it.
Go ahead.
I'm thinking, I'm not very musical all by myself, and every show I've ever did for Steppenwolf, there was a musical component, and I think John would, John and those guys would be kind of perfect for this.
I think so, too.
He's also a phenomenal storyteller.
Yeah.
You know, when we did the kind of memoir we did for Lynn, it was called Cinderella Blackbird. And we like doing it. You know, we talk about it every time we run into each other, that we'd like to do something like that again.
That's good enough for me, man. That's good enough for me.
Yeah, I was talking to him today. He was here all day.
He does hang out there. He does show up there. If he doesn't have a concerts out of town, he does show up at the Dime Gallery on the weekends occasionally to talk to patrons. Again, 1513 Northwestern Avenue. It's really amazing, Tony. A couple weeks ago, you sent me a note saying, sent me a photo of one of your works and said, "Oh my God, look, Jeff Garland just bought this, and I thought,
yeah,
wow.
Did.
You know, that gave a real, to me, a punctuation mark to the death of our, we weren't, Tony and I were not great friends of Richard Lewis, but we spent time with Richard Lewis, and I...
Yeah, I mean, I knew him from the Loop, because he used to come in and talk to Stephen Gary all the time.
Oh, yeah, he told me in one of the old pieces I read, when he was talking about how much he loved Chicago, he said, you know, well, Rick, I think one of the reasons is I always have these nightmares of Steve and Gary making me do stuff on their show. He was a real grand talent, and I'm not going to say unique, but certainly as distinctive a comedic talent as I have ever known. I'm sure you feel the same way, don't you?
Absolutely. I never knew a comic that was anything, you know. Richard Lewis was only like himself.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
When you met him off stage, he's the nicest and kindest human being you ever met in your life. And I did like yourself. I did not know him well, but
yeah.
I knew him well enough that when he came to the station, he was always gracious, always said hello. You know, he was pretty close with Bill Zemme.
Indeed.
Yeah, Bill, who knew everybody, you know. I mean, he was just plugged in that way. But yeah, Jeff Garland married my agent. I've known him for 35 years.
I've known Jeff for a while, too. I knew his parents pretty well. And yeah, because he was, you know, until he became like incredibly famous with Curb Your Enthusiasm, he was just a great stand-up. That's what he did.
Yeah.
He was a great stand-up.
Maybe one of the best I've ever seen, you know.
And then he made some movie or one-man show called, you know, You Ate My Cheese or something. I don't remember.
Oh, no, I Need Someone to Eat Cheese With.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I saw it like four times, you know.
The
one I made about Prince just now,
over
the weekend?
Sure.
Jeff bought it this morning.
Wow. Wow. Has he been a collector for a long time?
He's collected me for a long time.
Yeah.
And
good.
And I think largely because my former agent, his wife, Marla Kahan, was a fan. And you know, every time I would go for an audition and I would see Jeff in the room, I'd leave. You know, it's like, you know, it's Jeff Garland, man. They're gonna, you know, if they have any brains, they're going to hire him. I'm going to go. You know,
that's fun. How's the family? How's the family, honey?
Family's good.
Good.
Family's good. You know, I'm coexisting with a cat right now.
Uh oh.
Max's cat. And that's interesting. I'm not really a cat guy.
Yeah, I'm sure it's more interesting for the cat than it is for you. Yeah, I know you.
Yeah,
you're
the
not.
Cat does enjoy the cat does enjoy his petty torments, you know. But and Gabby, you know, both Gabby and Max are writing a lot.
They're, oh, that's, you know, great. Max doing any acting? How's Max's acting career coming?
He's doing good. He's been doing all kinds of small little bit parts. And
that's how it starts.
You know, say what?
That's how it starts. That's how a career starts. You know that better
than
anybody.
Both him and Gabby have kind of toe dipped into doing stand up.
Oh my God!
For the hell of it.
Oh, I'd love to see that. I'd love.
You know what? They're,
to see
they're really
that.
Funny. You know.
Keep me
they're
posted, really Tony Fitzpatrick. Again, 15-13 North. Western Avenue. And Tony is usually there on weekends to drop in and see John Langford's show. It's always great to talk.
Please do.
It's always great to talk to you, honey. See ya.